So we're so happy to have Brother Ray Cooper with us. Appreciate his first service. We're happy to turn the podium over to him at this time. And his subject is the delivering angel. The delivering angel. Brother Ray, may the Lord be with you. Thank you.
My dear brethren, it has been a tremendous privilege to be with you. I have enjoyed the convention so much. As a matter of fact, I've just about lost my voice fellowshipping. And you know, it's not easy for, I was going to say senior citizen, I won't even mention it. It's kind of hard for someone who has, you know, diagonally come across the country to be here, because it's as though there are two of me here. One is operated by the brain, and the other it has no brain, but it just has a body. My brain tells me that I'm in Orlando, and that it's 20 minutes after 7, but my body, without the brain, says that it is 20 minutes after 3. So when my host and hostess...
Four.
Whatever. Well, I told you it has no brain. So there, our hosts and hostess, they try to get us to bed real early. So it's something like 10:30 or so. Well, you know, what time is that out west there, David? 7:30. So, you know, my body says, hey, Ray, you don't go to bed at 7:30. But my brain says you got to get up in the morning. So, you know, the conflict that I've been through. This morning, I woke up at 6. Well, that was according to my brain. But my body, it was only 3. So I'm in bad shape. Anyway, I forgot to mention two greetings that I really wanted to mention. One is from Henrietta Stocker. She's my sister-in-law. And you better be nice to your sister-in-law, you know. So I'm glad to bring you her love. She was here last year. And she had such a delightful time that I thought sure that she would come this year with Vernie and myself. But then Vernie wasn't quite up to it, and so Henrietta thought, well, she'll just stay home and maybe help her sister out. So that's why she isn't here. And incidentally, she is our newest arrival at the retirement center. She is now a resident there, and she's only been there 2 weeks, but she's just been like in the clouds, just rejoicing. And of course, she was helping out there a lot, painting and doing a lot for their friends, but I tell you that this last 2 weeks have really been something very spectacular in her life, and she's just delighted to be there. Also, I wanted to bring you the love and greetings of Aura Moss. She is also having a delightful time. She's rejoicing. Last week or so, she was just a little under the weather, and so Henrietta, I think it was, that took her to see a doctor and things like that. But I think she's doing all right. But she mentions her dear brethren in Florida often, and we are enjoying her very much, and are thankful that she's here. She's a real asset to the retirement center. Now, would you forgive me if I mention something about our convention again? Would you really? Okay. Well, it's not about the program or anything, but you know what I forgot to tell you? This is, maybe you won't appreciate it too much, but I thought you might like to know that right at that time, it's a strawberry season and raspberry season in Portland, Oregon. And the last meal that's served by the class at the convention, the dessert is strawberry shortcake, locally grown strawberries. And so, you know, just keep that in mind. And then there are a lot of fresh raspberries around too, so you're all cordially invited to come. I just happen to have a few more programs in case you're interested. I'm sure that as we think of this convention, and as we think of our own Christian life, remembering our consecration to the Heavenly Father, and our desire to walk very faithfully in the footsteps of the Master, I'm sure that we realize that the great objective in our life is to reach the heavenly courts. And we go through so many experiences, and the adversary is so intent on tripping us up, because it is his desire to destroy the seed if possible. And so these discouragements and experiences that come to us, sometimes we may wonder to ourselves, are we really going to make it? Are we really equipped for the pilgrimage that we have already entered into, and are we going to be able to be faithful even unto death? So this question takes, I think, many forms. We perhaps ask ourselves now and then, will we be able to have enough faith to go through a very unexpected emergency, for instance, in our life? Will we have enough love to triumph over the resentments and exasperations that come to us in our life? Will our faith hold out even though the vision may seem to tarry? It doesn't really tarry, we know that. But sometimes the way just seems so long, and rough seems the path to our goal. Will we be able to continue appreciating the doctrines which we love so much? Have we strength for the struggle? I'm sure that there are times when all of us have sort of experience where our human weaknesses, our shortcomings, sort of make us feel very inadequate, and they just sweep over us and we just feel, Lord, I just can't really go on. It's not surprising, though, my dear brethren, that we should feel that way. If you do, don't be discouraged. The Heavenly Father is really with us and will help us to make our calling and election sure. It's not surprising that we have such experiences, because every single servant of God has had experiences just like that. When we do have an experience such as that, It is then that our Heavenly Father sends to us a delivering angel. This delivering angel comes to us with a message of love, and we are strengthened. Let me just remind you of a couple, at least, servants of God who have gone through such experiences, such mental anguish. There was a day when it happened to that very rugged man of God, the prophet Elijah. The subtle, the stubborn, the vicious scheming of Ahab and Jezebel just about wore him out. And the powers of darkness were so discouraging. And so it seemed to him that everything that he tried to do, there was this roadblock of these servants of wickedness. So finally, in despair, he threw himself down on the ground under a juniper tree. And we find him saying, as recorded in 1 Kings 19:4, he says to the Heavenly Father, he says, "It is enough." O Lord, take away my life. Now perhaps none of us here have ever felt as though we wanted to just die. But maybe we did. I think maybe some of us here have felt so discouraged at times that we thought we would rather be dead. Well, Elijah needed help so badly that the Heavenly Father did send a delivering angel to him. And he touched Elijah there under that juniper tree, and he said to him, "Arise and eat." We read in 1 Kings 19:8, "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." When you get down in the dumps, think of the good old prophet Elijah. And then there was the day when it came to another great prophet of God, the prophet Jeremiah. And sometime as a little homework assignment, you might just want to read the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. And there you can almost see Jeremiah, so discouraged. You know, he was called a weeping prophet anyway. And so I guess it was easy for him to become discouraged. I'm kind of a weeping servant of God myself often, and I get so easily discouraged. But here in this 20th chapter of Jeremiah, you can almost see Jeremiah going up to the throne before the Heavenly Father and trying to resign his commission as a prophet. And then there was the day when it happened to the great Apostle Paul, an account that you know very much about. That nagging, aching thorn in the flesh was spoiling everything. He felt he could serve the brethren so much better if he only had better eyesight. And so three times he goes to the throne of grace in order to be relieved of this thorn in the flesh. So it's not surprising that some of us here that are here this evening would occasionally get discouraged and feel helpless in the face of severe experiences. So faced with these trials, where will our help come from? We know the answer. It comes from our Heavenly Father. But there are other voices that keep crying to us. And there are so many publications in the world today. Every bookstore is filled with some kind of literature that will tell you that, well, you can do it for yourself. You can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You don't have to do this or that. You just do what they suggest in the book, and you don't need anybody else's help. That, my dear brethren, is not true at all. If that was substantially the message of faith, then the gospel of the Bible would have never been called anything worthwhile, or the good news, which gospel really means, because way before the time of our beloved Lord and Master's day here on earth, the Stoics of Greece said that very same thing, that you can do it yourself, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. But knowing the truth and following in the footsteps of Jesus and rejoicing in all of this, Christianity says something entirely different. That we don't have to look to ourselves for help. That we don't have to try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. That we don't have to look to our own resources. It says that we can enlist the power that comes from above. That we can enlist the power that the great Creator is willing to give us if we will but submit to Him and His will and have confidence in Him. And so this strength which comes from above is also greatly emphasized for us in God's Word by its doctrine of the angels. The word angel means messenger or envoy, a messenger from God. And how great are these angels then? Well, one thing that the Bible tells us about them is that they always behold the face of the Father. That's the angels that have a watch over us. Those angels must be able to travel faster than light. Those angels are so powerful that on one occasion, just one angel was able to destroy 185,000 enemies of Israel in just one night. We think of the destroying angel that went, that operated in the land of Egypt on that night of the Passover. You remember what a job that was for the destroying angel? So they are indeed very, very powerful. And these angels of God have brought blessings to the servants of our Heavenly Father in every age. So to Elijah, then, in his time of distress, there appeared this heavenly messenger to him under the juniper tree. And so a beaten, discouraged, broken down man could get up, take courage, and continue on. Not because of some inner strength of his, not because finally he did get those bootstraps up and pulled himself right up to where he wanted to be. No, not because of that. But because the Heavenly Father, whom he served, sent a special messenger to him and gave him the strength that only he can do. And so it was to the Apostle Paul. Finally, at the end of his struggle, when the word of God came to him, recorded in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 9th verse, where he heard, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." That was enough for the Apostle Paul. Finally, he laid it all aside, and he was willing to take this strength and this assurance of grace in every time of need. He realized that that would benefit him not only in connection with his eyes, but every other difficult experience that he might endure in the Christian way. Remember that at the beginning of the Master's ministry, Jesus went into the desert, and he was there tempted by the adversary, but he resisted valiantly. Matthew 4:11 tells us that the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. At the end of the Master's ministry, when Peter drew his sword, Jesus' words were, as recorded in Matthew 26:52-53, the Master said, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Yes, the Master had the definite confidence and assurance in the Heavenly Father. He knew that from the very beginning of his life here on earth, that he was watched over and guarded by the heavenly host. And so to ourselves also, in time of need, there comes to us from heaven itself a delivering angel. Sometimes the Heavenly Father uses a different manifestation of his care and of his messenger. Because we live in an age of faith, we do not have the opportunity of seeing materialized angels as did the servants of God in days gone by. Nor do we hear the voice as did some of the servants. And yet we have the same confidence and the same assurance as did our Master, that our Heavenly Father uses angels who keep a constant vigil over their precious charge, which is us. But in our day, the strengthening angel comes in a different form, however no less real than in the days gone by. And how do they come? Well, often strengthening angel can come to us as we look into God's Word. Sometimes a phrase just pops out at us, and it begins to glow, almost with a glory, as though it was just suddenly dropped in there by an angelic messenger. Perhaps it's just a phrase or a sentence, but it is just exactly what we needed at that time. And I could say very safely that some of you here this evening could testify that, yes, that has happened to me. If there's nobody else here has had that experience, I will tell you that I have. Reading something in God's Word has just fit the circumstance that I needed many, many times, and I thank God for that. Do you remember the day when you were down in the depths of despair? You were so overcome by experiences and discouraged, and you felt, well, oh, it doesn't pay to struggle like this. Suddenly, perhaps, the Apostle Paul's words written in Philippians 4:13 might have come to you. Words that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Or do you remember the time when you may have done something that you knew was wrong? And you felt so ashamed. And you felt so unworthy. And you thought, well, I shouldn't even be called a Christian. But you went to the Heavenly Father on your knees and you asked Him His forgiveness. And then, against that dark night, there appeared, like stars, the words found in Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And oh, how thankful we are for words such as these, and there are others. What is an experience such as that? I would say it's a strengthening angel that has come to us when we can take those words and apply them to ourselves, realizing that the Heavenly Father means what He says. And because of the robe of Christ's righteousness, because we've asked forgiveness, that He takes those sore aches away. Too often I think we're kind of prone to ignore the Scriptures and the things that the Heavenly Father has provided for us. But God's Word is like a fountain, a refreshing fountain. It's a fountain of truth, we know. And we know that man-made ideas, these suggestions that you can do it yourself and all of that, that these are not the help that we're looking for. And so we lose a great deal by not looking and expecting and having the feeling that the Heavenly Father really does care for us. There was a time in the past, perhaps in your life, maybe it was just a month or two ago for some, maybe it was 40 or 50 years ago for others, when the God of heaven spoke to you. When you heard His invitation, and when you decided, having heard that invitation, that you would consecrate your whole life to do the will of God. What a blessing that was, and what a relief to finally have left behind us all those hopes, aims, and ambitions of this old world, and to have just before us the great privilege of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, how did all this come about? Just by accident? No, my dear brethren, God's angels were involved. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, in the 39th verse, at the end of a series there of parables, there's one concerning the wheat and the tares. And then later on in that text that says that the harvest is the end of the age, it goes on to say that the reapers are the angels. See, in that segment, the master is explaining what that parable meant. So earlier he says that the reapers go out and they separate wheat from tares and so forth. Then in the explanation, like in Matthew 13:39, he says the reapers are the angels. Now the angels are the Lord's people, the Lord's people who spread the glad tidings, the Lord's people who go out with the message that there are two salvations, that the Master gave his life to be a ransom for all, and that the God of heaven will establish a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And so our hearts responded to such glad tidings. And so what is this but the help of delivering angels that drew us out of the world of darkness and sin and showed us the narrow way that leadeth unto life. When we meet as the Ecclesia of God in our little meeting place, the twos and the threes, the sixes and the sevens, the strengthening angel comes in our midst. Perhaps someone there at this little group of ours might have come to the meeting, the gathering, and brought with him a very frightful worry. And so the angel in our presence, so to speak, unseen though he be, may somehow through something come to this brother or sister and say to them, cast your burden on the Lord. Then the angel moves on to another who may be facing in the coming week a dreadful task. And the angel says to him, the Lord is the strength of my life, or your life then. Of whom shall I be afraid? Some of us that have been in hospitals and have been faced with surgery, I'm sure that perhaps you've had the same experience that I have had. But I remember one night before such an experience that I felt closer to the Heavenly Father than I had ever felt to Him in my life. I was just so happy because of that experience, because I knew the Father and His grace and His strength better than I've ever had before. And so, what was that but a delivering angel? Sometimes the delivering angel is just a fellow creature, some brother or sister. This is not surprising because our Father can use anything or anybody as His agency. There were few of the human family in the Master's day who could serve in this way. He was so special. And who could really be of comfort to the Lord when He just knew everything and understood everything and was the master of every situation? And yet, toward the end of His career, when He knew that He only had a few more days of life here on earth, and I think what hurt Him most of all was that He was going to leave these poor disciples of His. He knew they would be so confused and so hurt and so, Oh, just so unsure of what was happening. That he needed some encouragement and comfort himself. And so what kind of an angel did the Heavenly Father send to him? You know the one. It was Mary with her alabaster box. And so she anointed the feet of the Master with the precious ointment and with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. And do you think that this helped the Master? Oh, you know that it did. Not only from a spiritual sense, but even physically, just that massaging of his feet brought him relief and comfort. And he said that this act that was performed for him would be remembered through the ages, and so it is. And so we have, as the children of God in our life, found a Mary or two in our own life. Someone, when we first came into the midst of the brethren, took the time to come to us and make us welcome. Sometimes we come to a meeting feeling kind of low, and someone will just tap us on the shoulder or just smile at us in a special way, and we feel relieved, and we feel that, well, we can go on. So all of these are messages from the Heavenly Father. Let us, my dear brethren, strive to be delivering angels as much as we possibly can, because if someone was a delivering angel to us, then we surely can be a delivering angel to someone else. So there is a great deal to be said on this subject. The main thing to remember always is that our Heavenly Father cares for us, and that there's not a single thing that ever happens in our life but what the Father is well aware of it. That little ministering angel that is assigned to watch over us day in and day out is on the job. And that ministering angel that protects us beholds the face of the Father. And I'm sure that in our struggles, we want to be faithful so that our ministering angel will give a good report to our Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father will just be waiting for us to finish our calling and election so that he may take us into his arms and press us to him. May God help us to have confidence in our Father and serve him with our whole being. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ray. How blessed we are, brethren, for our angels, our guardian angels. And we'll ask him to ask the Lord's blessings on our Vesper service that's going to follow.